the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody, and Happy New Year. Happy 2017. It's going to be a great one. I am very excited, and I'm really excited about this show today. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling. This is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and I thank you for listening. So the name of our show today is Tucson Wheels, What Keeps Them Turning? And we thought that was very clever, you guys. So joining me in studio is Jim DeGrood, who is the Pima Association of Governments Deputy Director, and Patrick Hartley, who is the Sustainability Coordinator, also from Pima Association of Governments. Welcome, both of you, and thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know, and it's our Virgin voyage with all of our new equipment, and we got through all of that drama. And I'm really glad that you guys were here when I was having the mild coronary and greeted you with that greeting. Happy New Year. I'm having a mild heart attack, but it all worked. Thank you, Dave LeBrec and James Darling. So, if it's okay, I'd really like to start with a heartfelt editorial comment, if I may. Permission granted?
By all means.
I attended the ribbon cutting for the Kolb Road connection to Sabino Canyon Road, which for anybody around this region who's traveled anywhere near Sabino Canyon or gone out east will understand that intersection and what kind of pressure there was on that. And I was honestly blown away. I went because I like to know what's going on, but not just in fully realizing the scope and magnitude of this project and what it means for our air quality and traffic flow, but the planning, the partners, the businesses, the execution. And then there were almost 300 people there, I'm sure. It's like this is an exciting thing to happen for our region, as shown by the interest of the general population, which is part of what I think we're doing it for. Were you guys really excited about the turnout?
I was stunned. It was great.
I was too, Jim.
You know, that was one of the projects that, you know, we took a lot of grief over initially. There were a lot of people unhappy about the prospect of doing that project. And I tell you, it was really gratifying after weathering the back and forth and the concerns that were being raised and trying to mitigate them, to have people driving down that road. And I was walking back to my car after the celebration, and people had just been turned loose to the road, and I'm getting thumbs up from everybody running down the road there. It was great.
It's a big deal. I mean, it really is a big deal on so many levels, and I think Mayor Rothschild said it was like the biggest, you know, it was a big deal in 12 years. It was one of the biggest, big ceremonies like this. I know you've been doing a lot, so it wasn't the only thing. You've been busy.
Well, you know, it's one of the new roads. We've got a number of new roads that are associated with the RTA plan. Now, the plan itself had like 35 road projects. Number of them were brand new roads that had never been in use previously. Roads like the Twin Peaks Interchange turned on a whole area in northern Marana or southern Marana. We had the Kolb connection, which I think they're going to probably name Sabino Canyon because it does project Sabino Canyon up to Kolb Road. We've got Wilmot Road being extended on the south side. It's under construction presently. That'll go all the way, basically Wilmot Road stops right now just over by the prison complexes. That will be extended 4 or 5 miles to further to the south and tie into Sal Rita Road. So that'll be a brand new road in that area. And right now, if you're on the extreme south end of the region, or in the Sal Rita Road area, if you will, there is no way to go north between basically Houghton Road and Nogales Highway.
It's awful. I mean, yeah. It's really and truly awful.
Yeah. Well, now we'll have a new connection that's currently under construction. Another road that this is actually not entirely a new road. It's kind of a blast from the past. It's replacing a roadway that was lost in the 1983 floods. Sunset Road, which a lot of people probably remember where the pecan orchard has been along the interstate. Well, the roadway or the interchange there, which really didn't connect to too much, now you'll have access over the Santa Cruz River and tying into Silver Bell Road. And for the folks that are...
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
The people that live in this region, that's a big wow.
Yeah. You know, the Santa Cruz River is a huge impediment to movement in our region, particularly for those people in the Tucson Mountain foothills. And so this will give folks another way to get across the river. And it's going to be incredibly valuable to that community when we go and do the very necessary improvements that are starting on the Ina Road interchange, where we're going to be basically shutting that down, tearing it up completely, reversing it so Ina goes over the railroad tracks, and we won't have to stop
you
at the tracks.
You are kidding me.
No, that's under... That's.
I want to ring the bell.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we'll do it again on Ruthroff as soon as we're done. So,
well, I hope to be seeing you at a lot of ribbon cutting ceremonies in the weeks and months to come.
They're coming.
And years.
Yeah.
And years.
Yeah, we've got some exciting ones coming.
It's really exciting. And we have to go back now a little bit to talk about the RTA. It's a big deal on so many levels, and I hope we can hit a lot of those. But my closing point to this Kolb Road opening, when you're doing all of these things, my thought as Mrs. Green is that you're really, really contributing to the quality of life for the citizens in these communities, because nobody likes to sit through three traffic lights. That, to me, is a quality of life. And if you're type A like me, you've got to be kidding me. But the other part is the air quality, which we all breathe. So when you're improving traffic flow and stopping as much congestion, there are far less emissions from idling. So it's really a pretty much a green trifecta, as I would call it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it really does affect our quality of life in the community.
It does.
And one thing I think people need to remember is that Regional Transportation Authority isn't just about building roads. You know, in addition to the roadway element, which is the largest amount of money that we're going to be spending in the plan, but we also, about a quarter of the money goes to transit. A little over a quarter of our revenue goes to transit, and we're doing some exciting things there. I know one of the things that I was pretty pleased with is we did a little demonstration project over the holidays, where we were able to bring in an electric bus manufacturer that provided a shuttle from Udall Park to the Sabino Canyon Visitor Center, which we had 400 and almost 500 people that rode that over the week, and that's in spite of the fact that it rained cats and dogs on New Year's Day, and New Year's Eve was pretty wet too. So,
and it went from Udall to Sabino Canyon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, talk about, I had this woman on the show from the Yellowstone National Park, mm-hmm. and she said people are loving the park to death. Well,
yeah.
I think about that when I go to Sabino Canyon, which I'm a frequent hiker there. It is packed. I mean, and I never go past 8:30 on a Saturday, because you cannot get a parking spot.
Right.
I am there. When I left the other day hiking at 10 o'clock, the road was backed up way down on Sabino Canyon Road. So that's a great idea. Is that something that's going to, was it just a pilot?
Well, it was a pilot. It's something that, one of the things the RTA is about is partnerships.
Yes.
And we like finding partners and trying to be creative about ways that we can build on one another's resources to further our mutual goals and interests. And this is one that, we're going to be exploring, or the vehicle we used out there was an all-electric bus, and there are funds available, grant funds that we can pursue that are about bus electrification programs. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at whatever partners we might be able to bring to bear on that project and see what we can do. Because, that's an exciting one, and it's one where if we use the right technology, we can have a meaningful impact on the environment in the local area.
Big time, and preserve that area. And it's such a tourist attraction as well. It's a place that the locals use, mm-hmm. and visitors use big time. Anytime we have company from out of state or out of town, we take them to Sabino Canyon. It's such a treasure.
Yeah.
Let's go back to talk about a little bit of what is the RTA, how it came about, and give us some history on that.
Well, you know, I'm glad we're circling back to that, because, you know, we're right now celebrating, or we've just celebrated our 10th anniversary. Time flies when you're having fun.
What? I thought that just started last week.
I know. But, you know, it was really a big lift to get this thing together.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, we in this region, sometimes we're a little challenged on cooperating. It's you know, we seem to find oftentimes more reasons to wrestle over issues than to come together and really get behind a common goal. And this was something that was really a unique opportunity for the region. And when people started talking about it back in 2004, you know, everybody got very excited about it. We brought together an extensive process to collaborate on designing the plan.
I'm sure it was quite extensive when I see some of the outcomes.
Oh, yeah. And, well, we're talking some substantial dollars also. So it's something that was really exciting for us. And it has really proven to be a great benefit to the community in spite of, you know, some horrific economic conditions that we've weathered. We've still been able to do an awful lot with this program. It's sales tax driven. And yeah, we have not collected the sales tax that we thought we'd collect back in 2006. But we've done very well with the monies that we have collected. We've enjoyed very good prices as a result of the downturn in the economy. So we're about where we thought we'd want to be, even in fact, in spite of the fact that that our revenues have fallen off from what we thought they'd be. And we're going to continue to deliver on that process, a promise.
And the thing is, when I think back over the times we have weathered in this community, and I'm feeling so optimistic about things that are happening in Tucson and Pima County and Emerana, and I mean the whole region, where would we have been without the RTA doing these construction projects? Let's be honest. I think about the scope and magnitude when I started going down the rabbit hole and reading about 770 projects have been completed.
Yeah.
That's a good number. Where would we have been? Because construction would have disappeared. I think companies would have closed. And the RTA helped prevent that. And we have a better, safer, stronger, more livable community because of the vision of the people that, some of those people were on the RTA Planning Commission, whatever it's called, for 10 years. They were volunteers, citizens, to help make it happen too.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the really unique things about the RTA is we're able to tackle some issues that don't have traditional funding sources. You know, when we look at government funding, you know, we oftentimes think of buckets, because you got a bucket of this kind of money and a bucket of that kind of money,
and they all come with strings and all that.
Yeah, this had fairly few strings, and when we designed the plan, or when the architects of the plan designed it, I was one of many that were involved in that. They were able to target funds on some unique needs, things like wildlife crossings.
I love that. I brought that up in my notes. It's like, you have to tell us every time I pass it on the, I go under it on the interstate. I'm like, yes. And you have great footage of animals crossing and not being killed on the interstate.
Yeah. We've got deer crossing Oracle Road in rush hour. Who'd have thunk?
I know. It's so true. Yeah. Encroachment.
Yeah.
And I just love it when I see that bridge. It's like, this is such on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it's something that I know we still have our critics about, because a lot of people, you know, if you don't see the wildlife using it, it doesn't exist. But we have been very careful to try to make sure that we could document the passage of wildlife. We've got it all instrumented in cameras, both still and video feeds are available. So we are watching it to determine its efficient or effectiveness. We've done other things. For instance, in transit, you know, we now have paratransit services that are available that go well beyond what's required under the the Americans with Disability Act. I mean, we're providing paratransit services for people living out as far north as Tangerine Road in some places. And we have a dial-a-ride, a general public dial-a-ride operating in Ajo and another one operating in Green Valley.
How do you do that? You have to have partners. You don't have a PAG fleet on call.
Well,
your own PAG Uber that you're not going to tell us about?
Well, you know, funny you mention that. There is a pretty exciting thing that we're looking at doing down in the Rita Ranch area. Rita Ranch is an area that we've identified as needing transit services. We've got a shuttle bus that goes out and circulates around in that area, and we have express buses. You know, all this is RTA funded. It would not have existed absent the RTA. Well, one of the challenges that all transit faces is getting people that first and last mile to their destination, whether it's, you know, leaving their home and getting to the bus stop. Well, if you're already in the car,
right,
you know,
right,
why not keep going? You know, unless there's an economic reason to do it. But if you don't have a car, you're kind of stuck. Same thing going the other direction when you're able to, if you're in a transit served area and you could take that express bus out to all of the businesses that are in the industrial area around there. Well, how do you get from the bus stop to your business? You know, that's it's called the first and last mile problem. And we're actually working with an outfit known as Metropia.
I know Metropia.
You know
Metropia. I went and spent a long time with them. And if you enroll in Metropia, one of the prizes you can win is a Mrs. Green's World book.
That's great.
Really and truly. I went and met with them based on,
I'll have to save my points.
Yes, save your points and you'll get, you know, Mother Earth called.
That's
you better
great.
Call her back.
Well, we're doing a project.
So glad you mentioned that.
That interestingly, again, working with other partners. In this case, it's the University of Arizona, and they've brought some other folks together. We're trying to address that first and last mile question. The federal government has even given us a two-thirds of $1 million grant to help foster this in an experiment process.
And I hope we do a show on Metropia. I really do. But when I went to visit there, it was pretty fun. And I said, I think his name is Marco.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, Marco, you need to have some greening of this office. And are you all single guys or guys? Because he cracked up laughing. I said, Mrs. Green needs to come in here and do an extreme makeover. But they are geeks. They are brilliant, genius geeks sitting there figuring this all out. And I say that is a compliment, a very high compliment. They're going to tell me what to do because they've already taken out. And you've done really exciting things with like Total Transit and those people with alternatives that are not just more capital investments for PAG or the RTA. Who are some of the other partners and what region? What is the region? Give us the parameters of the region.
Well, the parameters of our region, it's basically Pima County.
Okay.
You know, we're Pima Association of Governments. Pima Association of Governments operates and manages the Regional Transportation Authority. So, interesting situation where you've got a nonprofit or operating a government.
I like it. So it's Marana and Oro Valley and all of that, like Three Points and all of those outlying areas, Vail. I mean, it's a big geographic area with lots of open spaces.
Our board members are basically the chief elected officers from each of the towns and cities. We've got a member of the Board of Supervisors and our two tribal members, the Tohono O'odham and the Pasco Yaqui. They both have representatives that are on our board. We also have one appointee by the governor. That would be Mike Hammond, who's our gubernatorial appointee.
From PICOR.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yep. I saw Mike there on Thursday.
At the ribbon cutting, you bet.
Yeah, it was kind of like who's who up in the front up there, believe me.
Well, we all had a lot to celebrate, didn't we?
It was a lot of fun. I was so glad I went. I was supposed to have a show and it canceled. Mm-hmm. And I had that in my appointment. I am so going. And my friend Jason Tankersley and I parked at Jason's and we walked over it.
Well, Jason's very convenient to that, isn't he?
He's very convenient. He's watched the whole thing grow from his back window in his office. Okay, we do have another patient, wonderful guest here named Patrick Hartley. And I want to talk about some of the other aspects that you incorporate in terms of sustainability coordinator and what that means. Because if I'm correct, a lot of what you do is, oh gosh, and we didn't talk about the bike paths. We just have to make this an hour show. That's all I can say. We'll do that.
I can talk for the whole hour. Easy.
I was floating on your words, Jim. I'm standing back smiling.
Yeah, you were yes, you know, you were shaking your head a lot. It's all good. So now it's all about you. Let's talk about the planning for all this. I know that you are truly committed to livability, sustainability, quality of life. I mean, what is the third one that I'm looking for on my notes here, because I'm so excited. But tell me what goes into this. It's a big deal, the planning, and especially to incorporate those aspects in it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Jim mentioned, we represent all of the jurisdictions in Pima County. And really, we are a creature of the federal government, and our role and our responsibility is to bring those bodies together and think about what our shared investments need to be, what our shared future should be through these planning activities. Technically, we're known as the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and we have two core functions. And one is to develop the long-range plan, really setting the agenda and thinking out 20 to 30 years. Because as we know, you know, as we've seen with these Cold Road Project and others, from the time that the project is conceived to when the actual concrete is on the ground, it can take 15, 20 years to get the funding in place, the design, the engineering done, the public behind it. And then the other product we have is the five-year program. So basically, we develop the big picture, 20-year, 30-year plan.
Here's the big vision.
Right.
Here's the next 5 years, which is like 5 minutes, obviously.
Exactly. So in year one, we have money for this. In year two, we have money for that. In year three, we have money for this. So we recently completed our 30-year regional transportation plan, which we call the RMAP, the Regional Mobility and Accessibility Plan. And since the RTA is sunsetting in the next 10 years, we have to start thinking, well, what's next? What's the 30-year investment based on our assumptions for where people are going to be living, where the jobs are going to be, what type of jobs those are going to be? So that's really allows us to set the stage and think and bring our partners together about what kind of community do we want to make for ourselves through the dollars that we have available through our transportation investments.
So the three things are mobility, livability, and sustainability. I found them on my notes. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about a 30-year plan, mm-hmm. you know, this may sound like a kind of dumb question, but it really isn't. How can you see 30 years into the future and what, because for example, we had massive growth and then it slowed down. And then we had 2008, which all of us will remember forever. It's a year that shall live in infamy. What kinds of things are you looking at, Patrick, in terms of developing? Because I know it's important, but where do you begin on that journey?
Yeah, that's a great question, one that's been really relevant to this process. So the whole effort that we just wrapped up took us about 2 years, and a lot of that is looking at our assumptions, looking at the data, and we have to update this plan every 4 years because those assumptions change. So
make those adjustments.
Exactly. The last time we did a long-range transportation plan was based on 2008, 2009 assumptions. The data was there right before the crash hit. So that plan was estimating or projecting 2 million people in Pima County by the year 2040. When we started this process in 2013, 2014, we stepped way back from those assumptions because everything has changed, everything has been upended, and basically now we're looking at a plan where 40% of that assumed population growth isn't happening. It isn't there. So we really
Things
pulled
happen.
Back. Exactly.
Right.
So it's one of our requirements is to make sure that this is a continuous and comprehensive process. So we are continually checking our assumptions and tweaking and updating as we go. And we want to be with the most current, but we have to understand as we do this that ultimately it is a snapshot in time. It's based on, you know, 5-year trends and drawing a line to what that's looking like in the future. And there's a lot of unknowns out there right now. I mean, just to throw something on the table, a lot of people are talking about autonomous and connected vehicles right now. This is going to change all of our assumptions about what our transportation future is going to look like.
It gives me such a knot in the middle of my stomach. It's like, it's a big deal.
Right,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's a big deal. And when I think about, you know, what kids can do on mobile devices, I shouldn't worry. It's all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our lives are forever changed. I want to ask you about air quality.
Mm-hmm.
You and I spoke a little bit when you first got here, a shocker to me. And Jim, maybe you knew this, but the third leading cause of death in Pima County is chronic respiratory illness. So when I was preparing for this show, quite honestly, I'm saying all these things that they're doing are helping to improve our air quality. When you improve traffic flow, when you have more bike paths, which makes us a big draw, you're helping people to be healthier, to get outside, and to make sure they're breathing cleaner air. I know there are many other aspects to this. So how do you go about air quality modeling for the plan? How do you incorporate that, which is, to me, so important these days?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our requirements from the federal government, actually, as we develop these plans, is to make sure that we're going to have no negative impact on the air quality in this region, or at least that it wouldn't be worse than it would be had we done nothing.
Right.
So if we don't invest any dollars in our system, is it going to be better or worse than it would if we were to make these investments?
Right.
So we use a model known as the MOVES model, which was developed by the EPA, basically to look out in those 30 years of investments and what our population growth is going to be. It's going to be occurring with our population growth, and also what we assume for, I guess, mode shift. So in the future, can we safely assume that more people will be biking, or more people will be walking, or more people will be riding the bus? A big piece of that, or big component, is also the forthcoming CAFE standards, basically the new requirements from the federal government that vehicles were going to be required to be more efficient in the coming year. So that's built into the model. So we can see huge improvements in terms of the air quality in our region based on just the technology alone.
And when I learned about that statistic, I thought about how, you know, you guys are really looking at what I would call an integration of thought. Mm-hmm. You really have considered not just how to get people from point A from point B, but a lot of other, the quality of life, the sustainability issues and the livability issues. And I just thought about how the kinds of vehicles we drive really do impact the quality of all of our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I, of course, drive a very energy efficient and clean burning car because I'm Mrs. Green. But these kinds of things, you have no control over what kind of cars people drive. So you still have to figure out ways to minimize the impact. What about, I want to know more about, tell people a little bit about the RTA Mobility website. And the reason I bring that up is because people write to us. They ask us questions. They listen to the show, and they want to know more. Sometimes, for me, government websites are, I know you're a nonprofit, but, you know, quasi-government. People think of PAG as a government entity. Are hard to navigate, hard to find things. I went to that mobility, rtamobility.com, and I learned everything I wanted to know just by clicking on the RDF, the PDF. I mean, the PDF that's on the center of the page that says RTA Mobility. There's so many good things there. And how do you keep that up to date? Because it was very up to date.
Yeah, it's a team effort, and it's, you know, we're never happy with it either. You know, it's always something that we need to keep on top of. You know, just trying to keep current information on each of the projects. You know, if you go into the website and you want to say learn about a particular project in your neighborhood. In fact, I had a gentleman call me the other day and said, I can't figure out what's going on Broadway between Camino Seco and Houghton. Well, you can go in through our website, and even though we're not designing and implementing the project, we're also coordinating with our partners, in this case, the city of Tucson, who has their website, and we can direct folks to the proper information. So, yeah, it's a challenge.
And sometimes for me, that's doing my research off of people's websites. When they're not up to date, mm-hmm. It's very awkward because I might use a statistic, but it really was, from what I could see, up to date from what I know. And, you know, Patrick, just to your point, a shocking thing to me is the incredible impact that the streetcar has had. I know it's controversial. I'm in. Like, anybody who isn't is like, sorry, you missed the boat because the party's going on and it's working. But even that, what I was surprised to see is the massive migration of students downtown and the shift in housing from that central area around the university and how those houses were in such demand. So those are the kind of variables that I don't think you can even predict, but it's been really good for Tucson.
It's been fantastic. And it's something that we've heard loud and clear in our own long-range planning effort. So a big piece of our process, which took over 2 years, was really going and engaging public interest in certain types of investments. And we heard from a lot of people that they are interested in seeing a more dense, a more mixed use, a more walkable future. And we, you know, are starting to respond to that and shift some of our investments that we're showing accordingly.
And I am thrilled. Theirs, they're queued up for, we're out of time. Please check out PagRegion.com. On Facebook, PagRegion, and on Twitter, PagRegion. I got that in. Next week, Lisa Lavallo from Cox Communication. Can't wait to have that friend on the show. And our Saturday show, another one, Callie O'Neill, The Artist and the Artist Elephant. It's going to be amazing. Thanks, everybody. Jim and Patrick, thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Much.